Welcome to episode 4 of this season of the 3-Peat Podcast. I'm your host for this week, Alex Castle, alongside
Josh Fromowitz
and Stephen Benazzo.
As always, folks, we got a lot of great content for you this week. We're going to be diving deep into the NFL. We're going to be covering the injuries, talking about how our teams did, and overall the league, how the league looked week 2. Before we get into that, we got to talk about the NBA. The playoffs have been progressing. The series that we still have going on are incredible ones. I've been very, very impressed with this Miami team as I continue to watch them. Josh, I know you're waving your hands. You're pulling a Stephen A. I'm going to get to you in a minute so you can go off about that. But it's been great basketball to watch. Tyler Hero is a fantastic rookie. I think he's been a great addition to this Heat team. I think they're really giving Boston a run for their money. The question is, does Boston have any gas left to hold on to this series? And that's when we call on Miami's biggest fan, Josh Fromowitz. Take it away, Josh.
Miami's biggest fan, that's an interesting one. But
you're acting like it right now.
The series is over in 5. Tyler Hero looks like he deserves to not only be an all-rookie first team, but an all-
I think the point that Josh was going to go off and make is, you had cut out for a minute, but the point that I was building off of was that Hero has been making a very big name for himself in this league.
Yeah, sorry about that. I guess my internet cut off. Hero has said that he is a bucket, and he showed that last night. He is not afraid of the big moment, and top 37, he is a threat. And this Heat team, they are threats. And it's not just Hero. It's not just Jimmy Butler. It's Bam. It's Duncan Robinson. It's Goran Dragic. It's Iguodala. You name it. They have talent everywhere. And the Celtics just don't know how to stop them. Yeah, they have their own stars, but any one of the Heat players can beat you on any given night. And that's what's scary. And this series is over on Friday.
And to your point, Josh, like, the Heat are just such a fun team to watch right now during the playoffs. I mean, between Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero, even like just small guys like Jay Crowder, Goran Dragic, Duncan Robinson, they are just, they play together so well. And it doesn't matter who's on the floor, they are meshing together just extremely well. And that's just, you got to give credit to the players, but also the coaching, Eric Spoelstra. The Celtics, listen, they got some fun guys to watch too. Listen, Jason Tatum is a top superstar in this league. He's going to be around for many years. He's going to dominate. Kemba's fun to watch, especially, you know, UConn native, or not native, but, you know, UConn alum. But just the Celtics, though, just seem sometimes that they can't work well together. And they had that big locker room dispute. I don't think, no physical altercation, just more yelling and screaming. But if there's that going on, listen, you got to hold guys accountable. But if there's that going on, that's not good for a locker room, for chemistry. While the Heat, on the other hand, are just, they're showing up. They're playing their game. They're winning. Doesn't matter if they win by 30 or win by 3 like last night. They're getting the job done, and that's the most important thing during a time like this in the Eastern Conference Finals. So, Josh, you have another point?
Yeah. So my next thing to you both is, are you both on the Heat bandwagon now, or are you believers?
Of course.
Yeah, I'm a believer now. I think I was a believer of them before going into the series. Maybe not as much as I am now, but like I said, they just have so many great pieces that make this team. You know, Spoelstra is the coach. You got guys with final experience. Steve, yeah.
Well, I just you said the guys on the team, like Jimmy Butler. I saw a crazy fact that I didn't even think about until I saw it. The last time the Bulls made the playoffs, Jimmy Butler was on the Bulls. The last time Minnesota made the playoffs, and which was the first time in however many years, you know, once he got traded from the Bulls to Minnesota on that big draft night trade, they made the playoffs. When Philly made their deepest run in the playoffs in a while, Jimmy Butler was on that team. And now the Heat, who have now made the Eastern Conference Finals and now are one win away from the NBA Finals for the first time since LeBron James, D. Wade, Chris Bosh, and that big three were there. Jimmy Butler's on the Heat. So as you can see, Jimmy Butler is very underrated. A lot of people just like say, you know, he's really good, but maybe they don't think he's that good, but maybe they should relook at some things, relook at some facts. And I think Jimmy Butler, after the season, should deserve a lot more credit and a lot more praise than he has gotten over the past couple years.
I agree. And I really think people will start to see that. I mean, I for one thing, well, I mean, I'll admit it. I like Jimmy Butler. I do. I think he's a great player in this league. I think he's got a really good story. I don't know if you guys are fully familiar with his come-up story of what he's dealt with and everything, but I think it's a great story. But the one thing with Jimmy that really always got me was his attitude. Not saying that he has a bad attitude. I just couldn't really figure out, you know, what the deal with this guy was. I mean, we obviously know all the issues that happened with him in Minnesota, you know, how he reacted to playing with those younger guys like Wiggins, which, for the record, I do think that Andrew Wiggins in that scenario, I think he was at fault. I've actually heard some inside information myself that Wiggins is a very, very talented player, but he's just a very lazy guy. And you look at the type of guy that Jimmy Butler is, Jimmy Butler's not going to ride with that. He's going to want to ride with a guy like Tyler Hero, who's giving you these clutch shots in the Eastern Conference Finals game. So,
sorry, Castle, to add on to that, even Carl Anthony Towns, phenomenal player, but I heard, you know, stories that Jimmy Butler would be like, all right, guys, like, let's get some extra shots and let's get some extra work. And they'd be like, no, they just want to hang back and not even say, like, go out and party, just like even just play video games, you know. And Jimmy Butler, you know, he kind of had that Mamba mentality, that Jordan mentality that we have talked about in previous episodes. And he wants to just put in as much work as he can, you know, because he might think like, you know what, I can still get better. While those guys are like, you know what, I you know, we practiced earlier, that's enough. I'm good in this league, but maybe they don't want to go to that next level, and they, or they just say, you know what, I'm one of the better players in this league. That's all that matters to me. I'm going to make my money. That's it. While some guys like Jimmy Butler just want to win. They hate losing, as did guys like Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, you know? And that's why you see guys like that. And that's why you see some of these other guys who are so talented, like a Wiggins, a Carl Anthony Towns, or just plenty of other athletes, not just in the NBA, but across, you know, every professional sports league, that just are like, you know what, I made it this far, but listen, I'm going to make my money. You know, I'm a pretty popular name, and that's all that matters. And listen, if I win, I win. If not, whatever. I'm still rich and famous, I guess, at the end of the day. So
it's a crazy thing to think about. Like, you've got two guys with optimal talent in the league, and then you got one of them who, you know, you got the Jimmy Butler type of guy who's just like, yeah, I'm not leaving the gym until I make an additional 50 foul shots after practice, versus the guy like Andrew Wiggins, who he's going to do the bare minimum of what the coach is asking. He's going to be like, I'm going to go back to my place and play video games and call it a day and sit on the next four checks that I'm going to make. So it's just, you know, looking at just taking this scenario and looking it at sports as a whole, it's very interesting to see what some of these players do with their talent and how they handle their careers. Because, you know, you look at guys like us who are spectators of the game, and we're saying, wow, you know, my ultimate goal would be to win a championship and be the best of the best. And so, I don't know, just something very, very interesting to think about. And then the other series in the finals, what are your guys' thoughts on that so far? Steve,
listen,
start off with you.
I mean, now 2-1, the Nuggets can make it very interesting. Listen, the Nuggets are kind of in a win-win if you think about it, because if they win this game, the next game, they tie the series at 2, and now they decide, now the series is tied. If they lose and go down 3-1, granted against a very good Lakers team, but they have come back from plenty of 3-1 deficits in this playoffs, so it's not like it's nothing new to them. So in reality, listen, I still believe, firmly believe, the Lakers will move on to the NBA Finals.
I do too.
But like the Nuggets, though, they just make it so interesting, so tough on the other team. I mean, you can't count them out still, which is just it's. I mean, it's good for just watching the games. It's good for just the intensity of the playoffs. I mean, you got to give them credit, the coaching, the players. Jamal Murray, he's something special too, and he, you know, in the past I thought he was good, but never really anything that special. I'm like, I thought he'd be a lot better, but he's making me think twice now. So I got to give them credit,
Mr. Fromm.
Yeah, I don't want to count out the Nuggets either, because, like you said, Steve, they're kind of in a win-win situation in a way. Whatever happens tonight, win or lose, they'll either be tied or down 3-1. I still like them in this series. Look, I don't know if they're going to win against the Lakers ultimately, but I don't think it's right to count them out just right now, because they are a serious threat to the Lakers and LeBron and Anthony Davis.
There's definitely, and this is what Steve was covering earlier, and I agree, Josh. You know, you can't count them out. There's so many different factors going into the series. You know, can these young guys come through in the clutch at the end? Let's say they do get down 3-1. They've already done it twice in the bubble. Can they do it a third time? On the other hand, you have the man on the mission, LeBron James. But overall, I just think that looking at both of these series in general, we're being blessed with some great basketball right now as fans. I mean, great basketball, a lot of exciting young guys, a lot of, you know, watching the stars do their thing. It's been great. And I truly do look forward to continuing to follow these series. I do think Miami will advance. Unfortunately, I think Boston, sure, they could come back, but at this point, I don't know what the likeliness is. And in terms of the Western series, I'm not going to make a prediction yet. I want to see what happens this next game. So it'll be very interesting. But now, moving on to the pigskin talk. NFL week 2. What a week this was for football. I mean, first we got to talk about the injuries. The injury bug took the NFL by storm. Not an entire team, but a chunk of a team was pretty much done. I mean, San Francisco, their quarterback, their running back, how many receivers got hurt that game?
It wasn't the receivers that game. They'd previously been injured. It was their D-line that got destroyed.
Both Solomon Thomas and Nick Bosa, very, very unfortunate. Both great young guys.
And torn ACLs too.
Yep, torn ACLs. So many torn ACLs. Both of those guys. Saquon Barkley, very unfortunate. Very tough to watch that injury happen. You know, I could see as he was getting carted off, he was very frustrated with it. Who else got a torn ACL?
Nick Bosa.
Yeah, we said Bosa. McCaffrey, he's out a couple.
McCaffrey got hurt. Drew Locke got injured. Cortland Sutton's done for the year.
Cortland Sutton towards ACL.
Which is huge for Denver. Huge for Denver.
Their top receiver.
Losing their quarterback and the receiver. Jimmy Garoppolo, he's out for a couple weeks, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, at first they said a few weeks, but now they're saying week to week. I think he's definitely out for this Sunday against the Giants, so that should benefit UCastle and the Giants.
It will. It will. And
but it's unfortunate, you know, Castle, I know the Bears won Sunday against the Giants, and, like, usually I would brag, but I feel like I really feel bad for you and the Giants and Giants fans, and especially Saquon, because at the end of the day, you want to win. You know, you want your team to beat, you know, your friends' teams or your rival. But at the end of the day, you want to beat them at full strength. You don't want any guys to get hurt. You want the best out of each team, the best game played. So it was unfortunate to see Saquon go down. And, you know, listen, it's just like a freak non-contact injury that is just so unfortunate. And it's tough for a guy like Saquon because he's so fun to watch. He's one of the better players and one of the best players in this league. And, you know, especially a guy who prides himself on speed and, you know, he does how many hurdles and, like, he really uses his
leg. The physicality is just.
Exactly. So, you know, I just I want to just, you know, offer my, you know, I hope he does. I hope he recovers. I hope the surgery goes well and that he can get back. And I hope his comeback story is, like, better than ever.
I appreciate that, Steve. And I think it will be. And, you know, thinking about this, I think the one silver lining to come out of this for Giants fans is that the line is clearly not fully developed. We have a new guy at center. We've got Andrew Thomas, who's showing flashes that he can be good, more pass protection than the run game, but he's showing signs that he can be good. But clearly this line needs to improve. And you know what? I'd rather have Saquon take the time to fully recover and let this line develop than him continuing to re-injure himself and come back like he did last season.
And you know what, though? I'll give the Giants credit. They got a pretty good back that they just signed in Devontae Freeman. You know, they went out. Like, obviously, losing Saquon is just brutal and tough. But Devontae Freeman, back in his prime years with Atlanta when they were going to the Super Bowl and going into the playoffs pretty consistently, I mean, he was one of the top backs in the league, not only in, you know, stat-wise, but just other aspects, you know, of the game. I mean, receiving, rushing, he was one of the better backs, and he was tough to stop. So, listen, he's now a couple years older. He's coming off an injury. That's why Atlanta released him. You know, I think he might have been on an expiring deal, and then he got injured. So, you know, they said, we'll just offer a younger guy, healthy, under contract. But he's a good veteran guy to complement Deion Lewis. And I think, you know, it might take him a game or two to get back up to speed with the play. But, you know, by the midseason, especially towards the end, I think he'll be doing some pretty good things for the Giants. And listen, if he does good and you re-sign him and then Saquon comes back next year and you got Saquon Barkley and Devontae Freeman as your backfield, that's pretty good.
That is. And also, considering we're only signing him for $3 million for the year, even if we don't utilize him like that, we can use him as trade bait. So, overall, very tough game. I will give the Bears credit. David Montgomery, wow, I underestimated him. Your defense was good. All around, the Bears were good. I really liked with what I saw with Trubisky. I liked the comeback that we had a little bit at the end there, but you know, I think that's just the Giants being the Giants. But what I'm most curious about right now is to hear Mr. Fromwitz's take on the New York Jets. Josh, I feel your struggles. I think Adam Gase is an awful coach. I think Sam Darnold has a lot of potential still. What's going on in the world of the Jets, Josh?
Man, I don't even know where to begin with this. Adam Gase has got to go. There are so many coaches that we could hire in the offseason that are not named Adam Gase. Lincoln Riley is an option, just to name one. But injuries are killing us. This week, we already are without our top three wide receivers. No Crowder, no Perriman. And who was the last one that got hurt?
Is Denzel Mims?
Yes, Denzel Mims is on the injured list, yes. And Sam Darnold, for the first game and the first three quarters, I would say, there were talks that, oh, Sam Darnold's regressing and not progressing. The Jets need a tank for Trevor Lawrence, whatever. yes, he is not showing the full capabilities we drafted him for, but I will say the touchdown pass he threw to Braxton Berrios blew me away.
Yeah,
and I know it blew you guys away too.
Phenomenal.
Basically, it just showed that he's got no protection on that front line, and he's escaping pass rushers left and right everywhere. And on the move, to be able to sidearm it and throw it right on the dot for Berrios to catch it, it was a phenomenal pass, blown away. And he showed that that's a top talent. He's a special guy, and I don't want to give up on Darnold just yet.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say the way that he moved around in the pocket for that play, it just reminded me of Russell Wilson. It really did. Just the way that he was evading defenders and moving around, I was like, this is a guy that the Jets need to mold and work with instead of giving up on Lawrence.
Josh, you think the Jets can get four other Mekhi Becktons? Because he's looking good.
Mekhi Becton is the highest ranked rookie right now, and I am so happy we have that mammoth blocking Sam Darnold. I wish we could have four other Mekhi Becktons, because that dude is massive, and no defender likes going up against him.
No, and he is a beast. I mean, I thought Thomas was a brick wall, but Becton is the next Empire State Building. He is insane. He's just.
I've been very impressed with all the rookie linemen that have been drafted. Andrew Thomas, Mekhi Becton, Tristan Wirfs.
Yeah, Wirfs has been good.
Dedrick Wills, you know, I think he's adjusting, but hasn't been awful. You know, they've all like. They all went high. I think they all went, you know, top 15. But I think it was well worth it. And you could see, like, you know, listen, it's not like they're not going to be perfect and not allow any sacks. It's not college anymore. This is NFL. They're going against elite pass rushers. You know, they're going against guys with experience. And
no preseason. Keep that in mind also.
Which also I think is resulting in a lot of these injuries.
Yeah, I do too. I think that's the biggest factor, aside from the turf at MetLife, but that's another story.
Yeah, I wonder what – I just don't get that.
They ruled that to be – they had a meeting today. They ruled the turf to be okay, and there's no issues. So there's – I don't know what the Niners were complaining about.
Yeah, I mean, the turf that they put down was made by Field Turf, like the company, and they have put down – their turf on many other NFL stadiums that these guys play on. The Giants and Steelers played a game on it the week before, and there's really no injuries. I think one guy got hurt, but it was more like, you know, I don't think it was from the turf. So I don't know what.
And if you see that in the video, how they got hurt on the plays, it was basically they just got pushed and their feet got tangled up, and it happens. It's football. It's a contact sport. Injuries are going to happen.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate that it was on the same day as a crazy injury day, but it happens. It's part of the sport.
Well, I mean, listen, guys got hurt on turf. Guys got hurt on Soldier Field. Granted, Soldier Field is like one of the worst fields. But, you know, Saquon, like he could have planted and the grass was just not good for like the way he planted. Well, maybe turf, it would have been better. Or maybe on both surfaces, it just wouldn't have been just the way he landed. You know, and then Shepard, his was more like his foot got caught up. But
Shepard's always getting hurt. That didn't surprise me. Shepard with ankle injuries, but I see your point though.
You know, it's just like it doesn't really matter the surface. It's just like the way it, like with football, yeah, like from as you were saying, it's a contact sport. It's just so much is going on that, you know, guys are landing all over the place. Like they can land on one part of your body and just it twists the wrong way. It just, anything can happen in just one play that you can't just rule it. Well, it was the grass or it was the turf. Like, no, it's football. You can get hurt basically doing anything. You can get her on the sidelines if someone gets tackled and gets thrown into the sidelines, and then someone's standing there, and then they get thrown into that person, and that person now falls and tears ACL. You know, anything like that can happen even.
Exactly.
Or you could get hurt pregame like Tyrod Taylor, but that's a different story.
Yeah, that's
– Yeah, so – So while you bring it up, Josh, what do you guys think about that? I mean, so I think the story is that he was getting some sort of medication before the game
for a cracked rib.
Yeah, and they punctured him. I mean,
his lung.
I don't think this is something that was done purposefully, but my one concern is, if you're a professional doctor working, I mean, accidents happen all the time, but I don't know. What do you guys think of this story?
Yeah, it's definitely weird because, like you said, he's a professional and, you know, his job is to work with professionals and make sure that they're good, you know, and try to help them feel better. So, you know, he had a cracked rib and he's getting an injection. To help like make him feel better, but then you puncture his lung, you know, like I don't know, maybe he was trying to rush it really quickly and then just who knows, maybe like who knows, you know, what happened. None of us were in the room, you know, that it took place, but it was weird because no one was expecting that because they said Tyrod Taylor was the starting quarterback. And then I turned on the game and here's Justin Herbert starting. And then news came out that, you know, Tyrod Taylor had a chest injury, like a cracked rib. So I'm like, oh, maybe it's just like he had it from the previous week against Cincinnati. And then as he was warming up, it hurt. But then, you know, reports came out, like 2 days ago, yesterday, that the team doctor did it. So
yeah.
So I think there is some investigation going on. Listen, like you said, I don't think it was done on purpose, but you gotta like be a little skeptical about it.
Yeah. My only thinking is he probably had Herbert on his fantasy team. Accidents happen for sure, but I don't understand this one. I'm confused like you, Alex.
Have you guys seen the like memes with the Chargers team doctor and it's a picture of Justin Herbert's face on it?
Yeah.
Those have made me laugh.
I do know that the NFL Players Association has reached out to Taylor and an investigation has been opened. So next show, if there's more information, definitely want to spend some time talking about that, just seeing what comes out of it.
And I know we've been joking around, but again, like I said, Saquon, like I don't want to joke around with Tyrod Taylor because this is a serious injury.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, no, I hope he recovers fast. I hope, you know, everything recovers back to full strength. You know, I don't mean to be joking around with his injury, but I was just joking around that with jokes that were made. But I hope Tyrod, you know, recovers soon and gets back out there.
I do too. Taylor's a solid quarterback. He's had some ups and downs with his career in terms of roles he's played on with teams, and it was nice to see him at least have the starting spot for the beginning of the season. So I hope he makes a full recovery, and I hope to see him on the field again. So with that, we are now going to be starting a new segment, which I am very excited to start. It's called Stardom Sit'em. And this is how it's going to go. The three of us are going to give two guys who we think you should start on your team this week if you have them, and then two guys who are probably better off riding the bench for the week. So as the host this week, I'm actually going to go last. I want to hear what you boys have to say first. I'm very excited about this. I'm 0-2 in fantasy right now. In one of my main leagues. It's very disappointing. So maybe you guys can give me some advice, help me out here. And I want to hear Mr. Fromlitz first with what you have to say. So Josh, let's start off with your two stardoms.
Perfect. So my first one is a wide receiver. And he's really making a name out of himself. His name is Russell Gage. Julio Jones has kind of shit the bed recently. He's now injured, questionable for Sunday. But Calvin Ridley has emerged as the number one receiver there. And Russell Gage is kind of coming up as a serious threat. They don't have Mohamed Sanu anymore, so he's kind of taken his place in the slot. But he is looking like a serious threat. And he's going up against, Steve, your Bears. And rookie Jalen Johnson's covering him. That's a pretty favorable matchup for Gage and Matt Ryan. I like that a lot this week.
Don't underestimate Jalen Johnson, though. That's all I'm saying. Okay.
Look, if I prove to be wrong, we'll see that next week. But I don't know. It looks like a very favorable matchup. I would start him if you have him. My second that I'm going to start, big boy. He's a tight end. Noah Fant, Denver Broncos.
Okay, I like this one.
I say this because they don't have a quarterback, and they do not have their starting receiver, as we spoke about. Cortland Sutton is done for the year. Drew Locke is injured and will not play this week. So it's the former Florida Gator man, Jeff Driscoll, getting the start. And a quarterback who has not seen much action is going to turn to a tight end to be the top target. Enter Noah Fant. He's already proved to be a solid receiver. He has two touchdowns already in both games. He has a touchdown in each game, two on the year. And he's a quick guy. He's got good hands. So I think he'd be a very good target for Jeff Driscoll, along with Jerry Jeudy, but mostly Noah Fant. Stevie,
So for me, my first stardom, you can say I might be a little biased here, but I just believe this because he's just a very good player. Rookie Jonathan Taylor, Colts running
back. Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Listen, he had his first 100-yard rushing game, his first touchdown scored last week against Minnesota. And he is going against, from its year, New York Jets, who allowed, you can attest to this, a lot of rushing yards to the 49ers.
I don't want
to
hear it.
So I think Taylor, listen, he's still young, he's still a rookie, but I think he should have a pretty successful day in that backfield against the Jets. And it's at home, too. So the Colts are right back at home. They might have some fans, whatever. So it's not like it's a total home field advantage, but you know, he's been practicing scrimmaging at Lucas Oil Stadium. Last week, his first big game was at Lucas Oil Stadium. So I expect him to have another big game. So I would say start him. I know I'm starting him.
And I am too.
Then my other guy I have to start him is Amari Cooper, Dallas wide receiver.
Dallas' favorite.
Amari Cooper, okay. First week against the Rams, a very good Rams secondary, had 10 catches for 81 yards. And then against Atlanta, whose defense is tough because Atlanta's defense is very young, but also very talented. But, like, they still allow a lot of yards and points, even though a couple years ago they were, like, one of the more dominant defenses. But he had a 100-yard receiving game. Now he's going against Seattle, who, yes, they have Jamal Adams, but they are missing their starting safety, I believe, is suspended for, the first half of that game?
Their corner.
Yep.
It was their corner.
Yep. So he was for targeting in that game against New England Sunday night. And then the guy who replaced him tore his ACL. So he's done. So they're very thin. And you got to cover Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, and Amari. So, and Dak, listen, Dak had a phenomenal game last week. So I think that game will be a high scoring one. So I believe that Amari Cooper should be a start. Listen, maybe Amari Cooper will have a slow game and CeeDee Lamb or Michael Gallup will go off. But I believe that Amari Cooper is a good guy to start for this week. Now, going to the sit-em, I'm going to start off with Houston running back David Johnson. first week against Kansas City, did pretty good, 77 yards and a touchdown. And then last week, he got the same number of attempts, but only 34 yards against Baltimore's defense. And now he has to go against Pittsburgh's defense. And Castle, you know, week one, Saquon couldn't do anything against that Pittsburgh D-line.
No, he couldn't.
Granted, the Houston's defense or Houston's offensive line, I don't know, though. Houston's offensive line, to me, is really nothing spectacular either. I think it's, anything
– it's not, and – it's not, and I'm just, I don't know. It's.
So, yeah, I don't want to say they're better than the Giants, but I don't want to say they're the worst. Like, I wouldn't say even, like, I don't know, you know? Like, they have Tunsil, but Tunsil, I think he's.
Isn't Tunsil one of the highest paid linemen in the league? Didn't he?
He is. Like, and I think, yeah, he, once he got traded from Miami, the Houston made him, like, one of the highest paid, or if not the highest paid tackle in the league. But he's had a lot of penalties since coming to Houston. So, to me, I just think that – and even Houston, you know, it took a while for them to score against Kansas City, and even that was more towards the end, more towards, like, garbage time when Kansas City got that big lead. And then even against Baltimore, they had trouble scoring and moving the ball. I don't know if it's because they're missing DeAndre Hopkins.
I think it's because – combination of missing Hopkins, and I'm just not a big fan of David Johnson.
No. Yeah, he's not what he once was. So I think David Johnson is a bench, a sit-em for this week.
Oh, yeah.
And then my other guy for sit-em, and you guys might give me some hate for this one, if you were to say, but I say Darren Waller. Now, you might be like...
I'm very interested to hear this because... he was, I believe, he was the number one target in their win against New Orleans, right?
He was. He had, so Darren Waller last week had 12 catches for 103 yards and touchdown. So now you might be thinking that I'm an idiot. I have no idea about fantasy, and that might be partially true. But I do know, I think I pride myself in knowing a decent amount about fantasy and these guys. But he had a big game Monday. But he was on he was a non-participant Wednesday in practice with a knee injury. And he's going against the Patriots. And the Patriots, now their defense has not looked as solid as they have last year. But against tight ends, they have only allowed 4 catches for 39 yards. And that was against Mike Gesicki, who had a phenomenal week last week against Buffalo.
Last week. I think he had 27 points on my bench.
Yeah. I think he had over 100 yards and like a touchdown. And then Greg Olsen, who I know Greg Olsen's old, but he's still a pretty top.
Very solid. He's a solid veteran target. I mean, I am biased. Greg Olsen is from my hometown. He's a hometown hero. Very cool. Greg Olsen guy. But yeah, still overall looking him as a player, he is still a solid veteran tight end to have. So.
But, I think we were having more technical difficulties, but back to my point, you know, Greg Olsen, like you were saying, Castle, earlier, he's totally solid guy. So to only allow 4 catches for 39 yards, I think shows that, like, listen, Gilmore had trouble covering Metcalf, but they were able to cover the tight end. So I think Darren Waller, especially if he's a little banged up from this previous week, you know, he might not be the best guy to start. He might, you know, if you don't really have a solid backup tight end in your league, then you might just have to start him. But if you have another solid guy, I would say start him over Waller. So those are my startems and sit-ems. Hopefully, you know, especially for my starm, especially for Jonathan Taylor, I know I have him in my leagues. I drafted him early too. Even knowing that Marlon Mack was going to get injured, I just figured he's, like, just very promising that – and I just really liked him because I'm a Wisconsin fan too, that he was going to get a lot of touches pretty early. So, and now that Marlon Mack went down, he's a starting guy now. So, he's their guy. So, that's why I think he's going to have a big week this week too.
Yeah, I agree. I do like all your picks at the end of the day. I mean, Waller, very interesting for a sit-em. I do see your points, though. I think that New England is, you know Belichick's going to be cooking up something to contain him, especially in the red zone. So definitely very interested to see what happens with that. So my stardom sit-ems for week three. Here we go. First one, stardom, Miles Sanders. Okay, here's why I think he's a stardom. Currently, the Eagles are 0-2, going up against the Rams, who I'm not a big Jalen Ramsey fan, but we can both, I think, safe to say he's a top five defensive back in the league.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
The amount of interceptions that Carson's already thrown, the lack of targets that he's been giving to Zach Ertz, very, very apparent to me at least, that Sanders is going to be huge in the run game, maybe big in the pass game. I think he's going to be looked to a lot this week. So that is why I say go with Sanders. My other pick'em stardom for the week is also a running back, Jerick McKinnon, going up against my New York Giants. I mean, I don't really think I need to explain a lot as to why I picked this. I mean, yeah, you know, I'm a Giants fan. I'm picking him against. But if you've seen what the running backs have done the first 2 weeks, what James Conner did, what Montgomery did last week, I think McKinnon's going to have a great week. I mean, they don't have a lot of their offensive weapons. They don't have Garoppolo. They don't have they do have Kittle this week, right? Do they have Kittle, Steve?
He's still questionable. They're hesitant to play him because of that MetLife turf. So I think if he, you know, if they wanted him to play, he could play. But they haven't officially ruled anything. So that might be more like a game time decision. Like, was it a 1 o'clock game, right?
I believe so. Yes.
That might be like a more like a 12 o'clock on Sunday type deal. Like whether they're going to play him or not, you know, that one, yeah, that might come down to, you know what, like a lot of these other guys are out. So let's just bench him.
Yeah.
Or they're like, we need someone, so we'll start him. But I'm glad you picked McKinnon because I just picked him up in one of my leagues. And
yeah, that's a great pickup. McKinnon, another great dual threat running back. He can run with it. He can catch with it. He's a speedster with his size. He can really get through those holes in the line. Great. So those are my two stardoms for the week, both running backs. I personally think Sanders will have a better week than McKinnon, but we will have to see. Now, here are my sit-ems for this week. My first sit-em. Now, I might get a lot of hate for this one. A lot of hate for this one. And keep in mind, this sit-em is if you have a quarterback to replace him. If this guy is your starting quarterback, I think it's a risk regardless. But if you're able to bench him, bench Brady this week. And here's why you need to bench Brady this week. Yes, the Buccaneers are coming off a win. However, Gronk had one target last week and he didn't catch it. 0 points in fantasy. The stat line was minuscule. I think Brady is still figuring out this offense. You know, and yes, you know, I had Mike Evans on my team, got a lot of great targets. Very great. But now you're putting Brady into a scenario. You're bringing him to the Mile High City, arguably the toughest conditions to play in throughout the league, with an offense that he's trying to figure out, with a team that's going to try to emphasize their defense because of how broken their offense is. I think it's going to be a tough game for Brady. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game overall. But I don't think Brady's going to put up the numbers you'd want him to. So that's why I say sit him. And the other guy I'm going to say sit him is Robert Woods. Robert Woods. Now, look, I like Robert Woods. They just signed him to an extension. I think he's a solid receiver. But I'm not crazy about him going into this game. Higbee's coming off a really great game. I think Tyler Higbee's been a solid tight end for Jared Goff. I think, you know, that they're going to continue to try to utilize him. They might try to go to the run game a little more. But I don't know. I think that Woods just has more of a target on his back now, and I think Philly's going to really try to emphasize that. So I say if you've got Robert Woods, I know he just got paid. I know he's one of their big guys, but sit him this week.
Well, I do have him in one of my leagues, so.
I would sit him this week.
Yeah, that's tough. So for the people listening, I'm in three leagues, which is a lot. So I have one.
I'm in four, so.
Okay.
Okay.
So, you know, one of them is with some of my buddies at school, or, you know, some a lot of them graduated. So it's just one of them still at school with me, and then the other two, including my brother, or other couple, the other ones are now graduated. And then I have one with one friend group from my hometown, and then another one with more of the kids I graduated with in my hometown, like high school. So some of them are like my brother's. So the two ESPN ones are the one with the kids from college, and then the other hometown one, that's more my brother's friends and my friends, you know, so, but more my brother's friends' ages. And then my Yahoo one, and that's the one that I care about the most because there's a cash prize. I am 2-0, and that's Yahoo, and those are the kids that I graduated high school with, like my, you know, my closest friends. So it's always good to, I won last year too, so I'm the reigning champ. So that's why, that's why this year it would be good to repeat as champ. And, you know, who doesn't want a nice cash prize at the end of the year?
Oh, I mean, that's one of the, aside from bragging rights, that's one of the big, the big wins with fantasy. Yeah. So
I don't want to lose money. So.
Exactly. So definitely think about Woods. Which league do you have him in?
He's in the Yahoo one. Oh, which is, okay. You know, the one if I had to, you know, rank them, the Yahoo one's probably the one I care about the most because that one I can actually win something. The other two this year with everything going on, we decided to not, you know, put anything on the table in regards to, like, you know, any sort of prizes. That's more just bragging rights. But my Yahoo one, we decided, you know, we'll make it more competitive, just like last year. So, yeah, he is in my Yahoo one. So I'll definitely have to take a look at that one. You offered some really good points. I'll have to definitely rethink about it, go through. I mean, I have some solid guys on my bench.
Oh, yeah, no. Definitely look at your bench. I mean, look. At the end of the day, I know Woods is a guy that brings in points, so I don't want you to, you know, definitely make the decision. But one more thing to keep in mind, it is Buffalo's defense.
Yeah, and they are – I mean, that Buffalo team in general is just playing.
Love Josh Allen.
Well,
Darnold's better.
Listen, he's – if he's on someone's fantasy team, they must be loving him right now because he's been putting up some major points.
Oh, yeah. So, well, good luck to the Yahoo League. I'm very curious to see how it pans out. You got to let me know if you start Woods or not.
We'll do. Yeah, I'll definitely let you know. And good luck to you guys in your leagues, too.
Thank you. And last but certainly not least, Mr. Fromwitz, would you care to share your two sit-ems?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. You mentioned Buffalo. So my first pick is actually from Buffalo. I'm going to go running back Devin Singletary.
That's a good one. Is not helping.
Yeah, I have him in my league, and I've started him the first 2 weeks. And look, he's good, but not great. 10 points and then 9 points doesn't really cut it for me. And then Josh Allen carries the ball a lot. They have a kind of committee with Zach Moss. I don't like it. And then they're kind of going against a guy named Aaron Donald this week. He kind of scares me. He scares O-line.
Knocks over linemen like bowling pins.
Yeah. Like, he's a scary dude. He's going to one little shove of Devin Singletary. He'll go flying back 30 yards. Doesn't look too pretty for me. So Singletary, he's going to ride the bench this week. Then another. This is a tough one. And I like taking risks. So we're going to go DJ Moore. Wide receiver, Carolina.
Wow.
And look, he's good. He is good. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know. He's going against a very tough defense in the Chargers. And everything about that defense scares me. Pass rush, secondary, you name it. He struggled last week or the week before. And they have other receivers. They have Curtis Samuel and they have Robbie Anderson. I think Robbie Anderson will do well this week because of his size and speed. Love him. I miss him. The Jets need him right now. But Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram are scary pass rushers. They're going to get to Teddy. Casey Hayward, Chris Harris, Desmond King. That secondary is as scary as it gets. They're a force to be reckoned with. They basically shut out the Chiefs, and they just won the Super Bowl. Mahomes looked nervous last week, and it took overtime to beat them. That defense, I don't like. DJ Moore, it's not a good matchup for me. DJ Moore, you're riding the bench for me this week.
Well, Josh, I told you when you first drafted your team and you showed me, and I said, listen, Singletary, watch out for him because he's not really been impressing in training camp. He's been fumbling and just hasn't looked as explosive as he did last year. I said they really like their rookie running back, Zach Moss, and you said, I know, but I think he'll be okay. You know, I don't know. Maybe I was onto something there.
Yeah. Who knows? But you also did tell me to draft Jonathan Taylor, so thank you for that.
Yep.
Loving that. My first running back is huge for me. And it sucks that he's going to drop 40 against the Jets.
Listen, I thought I might have took him a little early, but I wanted make sure I got him.
Me too.
I think it's paying off for us. So.
Oh, for real.
I had a feeling Taylor was going to be those running backs that was not talked about a lot, but once he got into the league, he'd start to raise some eyebrows. And I think he continued to raise eyebrows. I'm curious to see what happens with that game on Sunday, as well as all the other games on Sunday. I think it's going to be another great week 3, pending all the injuries. We'll have more news on that next week, as that will conclude this week's show. Thank you for everyone who joined us today to listen. We hope you enjoyed the new segment. If there are any other segments that you can see the show having, please feel free to direct message the 3Pete podcast, Instagram. All of the hosts have access to that so we can see the suggestions, take them, and who knows, maybe they'll be implemented. But until next week, hopefully the Giants get a win, and hopefully the Jets get a win, and hopefully there are no more injuries. And
hey, what about the Bears?
Bears can lose this week, all right? Bears.
They got their win last week.
You know what? And because of how you handled the Saquon thing, I would like all three of our teams to win.
I appreciate that.
So we shall see what happens. Until then.
And you have to add, Adam Gase has to be fired.
And fire Adam Gase. From now on, anytime you comment something on the 3Pete podcast, please end it with hashtag fire Adam Gase. The 3Pete does not support him as the head coach for the New York Jets.
And hashtag extend Allen Robinson because that man needs to be paid. Extended so that Bears fans can, you know, live in peace and he can live in peace and, you know, we can go about this season and not worry about that. So fire Adam Gase, hashtag fire Adam Gase and hashtag extend Allen Robinson. And I think we're good.
Nagy, if you're listening, you have a student at the University of Hartford who's not sleeping. Extend Allen Robinson. And with that being said, I'm your host this week, Alex Castle. I was joined by
Stephen Bonazzo
and Josh Promowitz.
Thank you again for listening. Tune into football this week. It's going to be a great week. Tune into basketball. And, man, we're going to have a lot to talk about next week. Take care and stay safe, everyone.